Across America, local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, food drives, and disaster relief, giving communities information they need at the touch of a button. America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters. News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with evening showers and partly cloudy as we look at after midnight. Heading for a low of 37, that's a cool start to Thursday. We'll expect partial cloudiness in the morning with increasing clouds and periods of showers throughout the afternoon. Still under the influence of the upper low. Chance of rain on Thursday, 70%, with a high of 59. Look for more rain and thunder on Friday.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Head-on with Bob Kinchin. Head-on is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kinchin.
Good evening, almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock here at beautiful Uptown Beckley, News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On for a Wednesday night. You know what that means. And, of course, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. And many, many facts we have for you this evening. Of course, the phone number. Let's do that early. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. That's WWNR on your telephone keypad. We stream the show every night live for you on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. There's also a portal there. You can go through that portal to my website, headonradio.com. You can join in the message boards there, wander about the forums, raise a ruckus. And unlike so many things in this modern world, you know what? It's free. So knock yourselves out. Take advantage of it. And if you don't feel like picking up the phone, but you're in an emailing kind of mood, you can send an email to bob@headonradio.com. It's all right there in one convenient location for you. On the West Virginia front today, two things that rather grabbed my eye. Three, maybe. Yeah, let's call it three. Handcuffing five-year-olds, or little bitty kids at least, has reached West Virginia. Don't know if you caught that in the paper. Ohio County, I believe it was, up around Wheeling. Yep, handcuffing the babies. Second, apparently we're having a purge in state government now with the, Steve Kappa, Homeland Security Director, just got the long knives put to him. And thirdly, and boy, this is the happy one. I mean, this is, get out the party favors, put on the funny hats, and the noisemakers. Don't put those on. Play with them. State Farm has announced that it's going to cut auto rates by, hold on to your seat. State Farm's going to cut auto rates by 10% since we've taken away your constitutional right to sue State Farm when it messes with you. Ooh, just gets you all tingly all over, doesn't it? It makes your little heart go pitter-pat to think of good, benevolent, beneficent, decent, upstanding, loving, kindly, downright parental State Farm giving you a 10% cut on your auto insurance bill. Don't know if I can stand it or not. Well, celebrate all you want, West Virginia, but for God's sakes, don't spend that discount all at one gas pump, okay? 10%. Now, if you noticed a couple of days ago in the paper, Senator John Blair Hunter from Monongalia County, one of the more decent members of the West Virginia Senate, noted that he was getting harassing phone calls from a bunch of right-wing insurance freaks spamming him with the telephone because he wouldn't vote in favor of giving away your constitutional rights. Yay for him. So, of course, the right wing did what the right wing does, and they resorted to intimidation tactics. But one of the things, if you had the attention span of, you know, something more than Pete Moss and read on down into the article, you'll note that he said he voted against the bill because 2 years ago, the insurance industry said they were losing $168 million a year on third-party bad faith suits. So he only figured it was fair if they were losing that, then that's how much they should cut rates. And, of course, you remember it started out, insurance companies have promised me, they've given me their solemn word that they're going to cut rates by $100 million. And by the time the legislative session was over, it was down to 50. And once it got down to 50, it was, we'll think about cutting rates. Well, the State Farm's thought about cutting rates, and they're going to cut rates by 10%. Wow. That means if you pay $1,000 a year on your State Farm policy, you're going to get a break of $100 a year. That totals out to what? About $8 and change a month, and you think I'm monkey with the facts. We just deal in facts here. But State Farm's feeling ever so much better now that they can mess with you and do anything they want to you when one of their people rams into you, injures you, tears you up, ruins your life. They can say, hey, we'll pay you $1.25, and you can take it or leave it, because by God, you can't sue us now. Gotta wonder if West Virginia's still a judicial hellhole. And you sat there and, some of you did, some of you didn't. A lot of you wasted your breath and some of the precious time allotted to you on this sweet little blue-green orb hurtling through the universe to pick up the telephone and call some of your elected representatives and say, look, don't take away my constitutional rights. You got no business doing that. And apparently you might as well have been howling into the wind, because they took away your rights anyhow. But, you know, State Farm's going to give us a 10% break. Pardon me if I don't get up and dance. Lord, and remember that 10% cut, a lot of that has to do with a little tax cut that was run through the legislature in the waning hours of the session, as Kerry Webster noted a couple of days ago. Yeah, we gave them a tax cut so that they could cut our rates by 10%, by $8 a month. Wow. Wow. That's some miracle math made easy, isn't it? Do you feel good about it? I don't feel so good about it. Other things on the plate for this evening? The Real ID Act stands a real and frightening chance of becoming law in this country very, very soon. I don't know if it's going to be like howling in the into the wind to oppose it, but from my standpoint, better to go down screaming than to go down sighing or silent. So you've got that, and then of course it turns out. Bet you didn't hear this one. Media largely ignored report that Prince Abdullah delegation member was denied U.S. visa, appeared on U.S. government no-fly list. That's right. Abdullah wanted to bring a terrorist with him to Crawford for his little hand-holding and kissy-kiss session with the President of the United States. Yeah, I think we'll stop there and take a break, because I'm going to go have to take my anti-vomiting medicine. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail in River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation Techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939. Call now. 1-800-373-0939. 1-800-373-0939.
Welcome back. You know, for 25 minutes, he's never rolled over about fighting crime. Welcome, McGruff the Crime Dog.
Thanks, Joy. I got two words to make streets safer. Coffee cake.
Yeah, the cook eats the poison coffee cake.
No, you invite neighbors over for a cup of coffee to discuss the problems on your street and what to do about them.
But still, a 10-pound cake dropped on a bad guy's foot could help.
Couldn't hurt. Go into WePrevent.org and help, too.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. Oh, goodness. We talked about this a month or so ago, a couple of months ago, maybe, the Real ID bill. Well, it's reared its ugly head, and they've done the usual thing with it. It's the Real ID Act, and it is attached to the emergency spending bill on Iraq and tsunami aid. That's H.R. 1268. This hateful thing, H.R. 418, just tied in there with it so that if we want to, it's how Republicans do business under cover of darkness, sneaky, back bay, swampy, bayou, stump liquor drinking, dishonest, underhanded politics. In other words, Republican politics. And here's the fun part. And, of course, this comes from one of the nastiest members of the House of Representatives. Quick as we get done with bug spray delay, maybe we can have a run at James Sensenbrenner, because he's got that going to get caught someday with either a dead girl or a live boy look about him. A key feature of the bill is the denial of driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. But, of course, as the Boston Globe notes, most of the illegal immigrants who get licenses in the nine states that grant them are trying to earn a living, not commit terrorist acts. Meanwhile, it would be a very costly bill because states would all have to comply or lose federal funding, and they would have to add security features to all driver's licenses and create a license database that other states could access. In other words, a national ID card. Are you ready for that? Your papers are not in order. I have reviewed your papers and they are not in order. You will have to come with me, please. You ready for that? And you think I'm kidding when I talk about the growing trend toward fascism in this country? No joke. And it's Republican legislation, so therefore it's gonna be hateful. Now, you heard me mention James Sensenbrenner. Who's James Sensenbrenner? James Sensenbrenner is the same creep that got H.R. 1258, the rat bill, the bill that would require people who hear gossip about drug deals to comply and to rat to the police on penalty of 3 years. Mandatory minimum time at Club Fed. Yeah, you think I'm kidding. Go read it. Well, this is, you know, this is another bit of Sensenbrenner's work. And it creates a little presumption. Now, most DMVs you go to, you have to provide, if you're getting a new license, you have to provide proof of your date of birth and your address and your identity, you know, birth certificate, that kind of thing. But there's a presumption created in the Real ID Act, and that is that your document, well, yeah, what did I just, your papers are not in order. There is a presumption against the validity of your paperwork. It could hold up DMVs across the country for literally months, if not years. This is your arrogant, hateful, dirty, corrupt, bought, sleazy, filthy Republican Congress at work. Yeah, but they love Jesus. Ugh. Well, let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Jim.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Hey, at least throw me a bone and give me a footnote.
What, how's that?
I'm the one who first told you how they were going to pass this.
That's
bill.
True. I was thinking about you as I mentioned that. You're absolutely right.
Well, I'll tell you. You know, Bob, yeah, one thing I have learned by listening to some people on Good Talk Radio, including your show, is that when I come on the air, I don't come on the air with a bunch of crap.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Stuff that I can't prove, and I know, because I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've had to live my life all that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, kudos to you for that, but, I mean, you know, I have been hearing this for months, and the only good thing I have to say is that we may not have the beginning of the end of Tom DeLay, but the end of the beginning.
Well, here's just before,
we may.
Yeah, right.
I just get some good news from people in D.C. this afternoon.
Well, before we shift gears to Tom DeLay, and I do want to shift gears to Tom DeLay.
Okay, no problem. It's your show.
Now, just so we'll all understand, this hateful national ID bill will go to a vote in 3 days.
Well, and they'll have to pass it. And if they vote against it, they'll be lambasted as being unpatriotic and not wanting to support our boys.
Right.
And this thing has greater ramifications than you think. You know, I envision before long they're going to have what the Nazis used to have in Germany, a block warden on every street.
I wouldn't be, yeah.
Or in the Soviet Union, a little old woman who used to sit out front and notice everybody's comings and goings called the Dejanajurna.
Yeah.
The little old lady out there with a twig broom or whatever.
Right.
And well, you know, she was sort of paid by somebody else to see who was coming and going and to report your comings and goings to the KGB.
And may not have looked like much, but was the most powerful lady in the most powerful lady in the neighborhood.
Basically, she was the concierge of the building. And one of her duties
exactly.
was to report anything that was considered to be, you know,
untoward.
Not exactly according to Hoyle.
Right.
And I can see that happening. Neighbors turning neighbors in.
Well, look at
brothers turning brothers in. You know,
Jim. Look at the now. This was HB 1268. What was it? 1458 that I was talking about the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Where I mean, I'm not kidding. Where ladies gossiping at the beauty parlor become subject to federal minimum prison time for not ratting someone out on gossip.
You know, oh, yeah, failure to report.
Yeah, same guy created it. Yeah, who the hell do these people think they are, and where do they think they live?
Well, you know, it's kind of like what we used to have in the Citadel called the Cadet Honor System.
Right.
Which was you couldn't lie, you couldn't cheat, you couldn't steal, and if you knew of anybody who did and you didn't report it, then guess what?
You were as guilty as they were.
And you got and you were railroaded out of school. Very ignominiously.
Yeah, but that's but
that's the same kind of.
It's the same kind of mindset.
That was sort of like to me a fascist. It was a fascist existence that I endured for 4 years. Okay.
Sure.
And you know, it was like being in prison for 4 years or living in a Stalinist state.
Yeah, well, sadistic in the extreme. But you know, there's a military component to that, and I can understand that. I can almost understand that in a military setting. You know, because you play the claptrap about honor and yada yada yada,
right?
And that you know that's on the menu, but freedom, American freedom has been freedom from government. You know what I mean? I mean, how weird to be a Democrat and talking about something like that when it was one of the watchwords of that filthy old fool Reagan. You know, we're going to get government off your backs. And yet here they are turning us into the narc state.
Well, basically, they're using the machinery of the state to report or have reported upon anything that they don't like. And pretty soon, they're going to have other types of laws passed. I mean, you know, back in Germany in, say, the early 1930s to the late 20s, before Hitler came to power, you know, you had people there who couldn't imagine that anything like that would ever happen.
No.
And they laughed and scoffed at the idea of anything like that happening.
Yeah, and they were watching it happen. You know, Weimar Germany watched it happen in Italy long before it ever came north.
Exactly.
And they laughed and said...
They just thought Mussolini was a joke. Well, you know, he did gesticulate, and he did look kind of like, you know, a fool at times. But nonetheless, Hitler used him as a model, and Hitler said, well, they can laugh at me one day, but one day they won't be laughing. And that day certainly came.
Yeah.
And then 1933 went on, and then they passed the Nuremberg Laws, you know, the ones against the Jews, everybody else. And you saw within a space of 15 years or less, one of the most ancient and honorable countries in the world that have produced some of the greatest writers, musicians, composers, theologians, whatever, deteriorate into a fascist tyranny.
Yeah.
And the same thing is happening in this country.
No, Jim, it could never happen here. Right?
Uh-huh. I beg to differ, sir.
I know. But you get my point.
These people say, oh, no, it can't happen here. It can't happen here.
As long as we got NASCAR, we got freedom.
And it will happen here. These people would not know freedom if it bit them on the rear end.
No, you're right.
And, you know, in the business practices of this country. Now, this afternoon in today's mail, I received two cashier's checks from Chase. Guess how much they were for?
$7,500
apiece? $5,000.
Yeah, okay. Close. And all you got to do is go and cash them.
That's right. Boys, step right up. Step right up.
Free
step
money.
Right up. Let's say a used car, says Shady Sam.
Yeah, we don't want you to pay it back or anything. It's free money.
Oh, no. This is just, you know, this is manna from heaven.
Yeah, this is the bank error in your favor. Collect $50 on the Monopoly board.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Your community test card. And so I called up and I said, why are you sending me this money? Well, we want your business. And I said, you're usurers. And I hung up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the woman called me back?
You've got to be kidding.
No.
Was she mad at you?
She said, I want to know why you hung up on me. And I said, ma'am, may I have your permission to say something intimate? And I said, eat, and I won't say the last of the word, and hung up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I mean,
well, what, just out of curiosity. What was the interest rate on that?
Take advantage of anybody they want to.
Sure.
Now, some poor fool, I'm sure, was in a block radius of me, probably got the same doggone thing.
Sure, absolutely.
And I bet you they've already gone to the bank and cashed
it. Quite likely. Now, I get them, and like I said, I burn them. I don't throw them away. I don't tear them up. I burn them.
Got a shredder, so that's where it went.
Yeah, that's the shredder or burn them is the only way that I feel even remotely comfortable about that, Jim.
But, I mean, it's just amazing how corporate America and greed are transforming this country, and you've got the government right behind it trying to do it and okaying them to do it on one hand, and then you've got this new ID Act, ID card, real ID thing, and they're going to use all of these methods to whether it's fingerprints or whether it's DNA, or other types of biological metrics to know who you are, where you are. And pretty soon, you know, I would be surprised if they don't have a little chip that they're going to put in your skin so they can track you.
It's about the size of a grain of rice, Jim, that already exists.
I've seen them because the Army was going to use them back in the 80s, and they thought better of it, so we use them instead of dog tags.
Well, people use them on their pets now.
Exactly.
Just implant them in the ear, and there you go.
But Mr. Kincaid, it's just incredible to me how some people can really sit there and support these people. Like, for example, twice today, I heard your favorite caller call in, and he was talking about why are people on Tom Delay?
Because he's a scumbag?
Why? And then this individual began to make comments about representatives of this state, Mr. Ray Hall.
Well, see, Jim, you know, anytime you hear that, you know you're hearing somebody who never got out of ninth grade debate. Because
well, I mean, really, honestly and truly, and, you know, it just made me angry because I know doggone well that, for example, with the case of our representative, in this last election that he ran, and as dirty as they were and tried to be,
oh yeah,
that if that man had done anything improper, and work and could be painted with the brush at Tom Delay, they would have brought that on him so fast it would have been like a duck on a June bug.
Yeah, let me guess though. I didn't get to listen this afternoon. I was a little late coming in. Jim, did the race card get played again?
What do you mean, buddy?
On Congressman Ray Hall. Well, let me see.
They made the point to mention the Islamic connection.
Told you.
And the reason the gentleman had gone there was because he was trying to stop this horrible mess that we're in Iraq.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, he is Lebanese. That is his background. He can't help that, and he's proud of it, and I'd be proud of it, too, because they're fine people.
Yeah.
And they know how to stick together, which is more than I can say for a lot of people in this country.
Oh, isn't it?
And their family ties mean a great deal to them. That's just their nature. They're well, good people, and they've had to be.
It is, but
the thing about it is, you know, but and then something, other things about going to the Greenbrier for CSX.
Oh.
Well, you know, congressmen can go to certain things as long as they deliver a lecture,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain guidelines they have to follow, okay?
Yep.
And this was not going to the St. Andrews golf course
have you seen the story on the credit card receipts on that?
I've heard that that's the way you track them, Bob.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't some group's, it was Jack Abramoff's credit card.
Right. And that's one of his buddies with what are those, Trim Pack and...
Arm Pack, Trim
Pack, and all those front organizations
pack.
He has down there.
Yeah. And he's the huge, huge lobbyist who created the K Street Revolution. Hey, Jim, we're behind for our break, though. I appreciate it.
Well, I can tell you this. That guy's probably laundered more money than Al Capone.
I think that's going to turn out to be fact, Jim. Thanks a lot.
I certainly hope so.
All right. Take care now. All right. Time for a break. Little late for it, but yeah, so what? This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. American Electric Power says it is in discussions with the government to settle a lawsuit over the company's alleged pollution increases. The Justice Department sued AEP and several other utilities in 1999, saying modifications to some power plants violated the Clean Air Act. Among the 10 AEP plants mentioned in the lawsuit are three in West Virginia. First Energy last month paid $1.1 billion to settle a similar suit. The government has settled with eight other companies. State Division of Natural Resources officials say a man was shot while turkey hunting in Greenbrier County this week. He's 46-year-old William Martin of Smoot, who was shot in the Sam Black Church area around 8 o'clock Monday morning. Lieutenant T.D. Coleman of the DNR Law Enforcement Section says 24-year-old Gene Heimberger of Dawson has been charged with negligent shooting in that incident. Record gasoline prices have not put a dent in traffic on the turnpike.
That's according to Greg Baer, general manager of the State Parkways Authority. In fact, Baer says toll collections in March were up more than 3% over March 1 year ago, with passenger car traffic up about 2.5%. A Glade Springs resident has filed a lawsuit in an attempt to stop the resort's new ownership from allowing motorcycles in certain sections of the gated community. Attorney Warren Thornhill, who filed the lawsuit, says the covenants promised to property owners that motorcycles would be prohibited within the bounds of Glade Springs. Thornhill says allowing motorcycles past the front gate is a violation of the Phase 1 covenants that have been in place for the past 25 years. Elmer Koopsley, who is president and CEO at Imco Hospitality, says his company's intention is not to open up the entire community to motorcycles. That's the news. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, then partly cloudy and chilly tonight, mid-30s. Tomorrow, a chance of showers late in the afternoon, partly cloudy, high near 57. Showers tomorrow night, low 45, and Friday, showers likely, with a high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Rebecca Jameson.
The latest campus victory for workers' rights was at Washington University in St. Louis, where students used a sit-in and hunger strike to win a commitment of at least $1 million toward a living wage for campus service workers. Erica Smiley is media organizer for Jobs with Justice. She says this growing campus movement for worker rights is a very important boost for the labor movement in general.
Oh, I think it's huge. I think it kind of demonstrates that, you know, labor isn't just some special interest group, you know, out there dictating things, but that there's broad-based support for workers and for workers' rights, and that workers aren't just employees of someone, but they're also our parents and our teachers and, you know, our TAs and you know, the people we go to church with and the people we are on campus with. And so it definitely broadens the issue so that it's not seen as such a special need, but it's something that's going to benefit all of us in our community.
As gay marriage bans sweep the nation, Wisconsin considers its own constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, civil unions, and domestic partnerships. Last June, the Service Employees International Union passed a resolution in support of gay marriage. Sasha Gorman, communications coordinator of the Wisconsin SEIU Council, says the ban would affect unmarried couples, gay or straight.
I have four children. The mother of my children and I live together. We're not married. We get benefits that would be impacted by this constitutional change in Wisconsin.
Gorman says if the ban passes, it will disrupt the way unions collective bargain.
What happens is it will pit one part of the bargaining unit against another, those with benefits and those without benefits. And we believe that's wrong.
Wisconsin residents may get a chance to vote on the amendment in 2006. Gorman says he feels the coalition between labor, LGBT, and human rights groups is still in its early stages, but the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, the American Federation of Teachers, and the communications workers have all passed resolutions in support of gay marriage, and Gorman hopes more will follow their lead.
Republicans in Pennsylvania's legislature are pushing bills introduced March 30th that in effect would transform Pennsylvania into an anti-union so-called right-to-work state. Called the Open Workforce Initiative, the bills would end closed shops where new employees coming into a union shop are required to join the union. Unions say workers under these proposed laws would have less bargaining power and the result would be lower wages. Here's today's Dow Bob report. According to a report written by Corporate Voices for Working Families, between 2002 and 2012, the economy will create more than 7.5 million new jobs, but nearly 6 million of them will be low-wage jobs. Just 38% of low-wage workers get employer-based health insurance, and the report by Corporate Voices for Working Families found the public supports by wide margins requiring employers to provide health insurance for workers, and more than 70% of the public believe that improving conditions for low-wage workers will benefit the rest of society. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 20 minutes before 8 o'clock, head on, I'm Bob Kincaid. We talked briefly about the Real ID Act that is running a real risk of becoming real law real fast. And someone emailed to me, I don't have it in front of me right now, but apparently, and once you hear this, you will never ever forget this, if you want to call the Capitol switchboard and be connected to a particular congressional office to register your support or opposition to a given bill. Really, you're never going to forget this. All you need to do is pick up the phone. I mean, this is better than 620 WWNR. You are not going to forget this. All you need to do is pick up the because you're calling the Congress, remember. Pick up the phone, dial 1-877. I tried this myself, okay? I mean, this really works. 877. This is for dialing the Congress. 877-SOB-USOB. That's right. 877-SOB-USOB. Now, I'm sure it has something to do with the Senate office building or I don't know. But 877-SOB-USOB. The God of irony takes broad strides across the earth. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Like I said, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. Now, let's go to the phones. We've got a collect call.
I have a collect call from the White House. Will you accept?
Yes.
Hello to all you little people in your charming little town of Buckley, Virginia. This is Laura Bush, your glorious globe-trodden First Lady. It's been a while since we had a little chat, so I wanted to give you all a call. Now, you all know we've had some trying times lately at the White House. What with Republicans like that Thurner von Viner, that worthless Buckeye senator going against John Bolton, God's anointed ambassador to the UN. My Georgie's just been busting into tears at the drop of a hat on that one. And, of course, there's Tom DeLay. My mama always warned me about pool sharks and exterminators. Said you couldn't trust one as far as you could knock them with a 63 Ford. And that beady-eyed, greasy-headed little twit's got my Georgie Snickers all in a twist. That's why Carl Rove had Georgie take Tom up in Air Force One and show him the foot of the cross, as Pastor Live Right likes to say. Don't count on hearing too much out anymore, DDP DeLay, if you know what I mean. That Carl, he's a mean one. He is. Sitting around in his box of shorts, eating Cheetos, and all the time watching The Godfather. My Georgie won't go nowhere near a rowboat with Carl around. When Carl gets real mad, he slaps my Georgie around and calls him Fredo. But anyhow, I know what's really bothering all you little hillbillies that voted for my Georgie last November. It's that Bandar Bush. Lord knows, we're fumigating the bunkhouse down in Crawford again. And all you think skunks smell bad, you should try getting camel out of your sheets. We finally just gave up and burned them. Now, I know all you hillbillies probably don't think too much of boys kissing boys and holding hands and such. Trust me, I don't either. I told my Georgie that this is no time to go getting all squishy on that gay marriage thing. But my Georgie told me it's not gay at all, and it's just a male bonding ritual that certain Saudis have who don't like girls. And for you all not to worry your pointed little heads about it. But I swear, it still don't explain my pet goat. Bye now. Lupe, forget the margaritas. Just bring me the mezcal bottle. I'm eating the worm. Male bonding ritual, my old Aunt Ethel. Is this thing still on?
John, did we lose her? Dadgummit, I wanted to talk to her. I don't know if she was in any condition to talk. A lot of good, but I think she, I think she's got her Saudis a little bit confused. That was Crown Prince Abdullah, wasn't it, that George was swapping spit with, holding hands. Oh, it was charming. It was just charming. But I think Laura must be paying pretty close attention to Carl Rove. And she may very well have it down to a science just exactly what happened on Air Force One yesterday. Carl get, the bug spray delay gets on Air Force One, flies back to Washington. Next thing you know, the ethics committee comes out and says, you know, we're gonna go ahead and investigate Tom because it's good for the country. Because you see, when you cross a bush, or when you get a little too greedy, bad things are gonna happen. And it's finally begun to happen to Bug Spray Delay. But in case you missed it, because apparently very few media outlets covered it, as I mentioned at the top of the show, a member of the delegation of Crown Prince Abdullah, who met with President Bush, I guess that's some sort of a euphemism, at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, on April 25th. A member of this delegation was denied entry to the United States after the delegation member's name appeared on a national watch list for alleged terrorists. Remind me, if you would, please. Where did 15 out of 19 of the 9/11 attackers come from? Where was it? Iraq? No. Bulgaria? No, wasn't Bulgaria. Mexico? No, wasn't Mexico. Venezuela? We'll hear about that maybe a little bit later. But no, unless I'm mistaken, 15 of those 19 hijackers did indeed come from Saudi Arabia. And Crown Prince Abdullah was trying to bring another one all the way to the desert White House. But, of course, you haven't heard much about that, have you? Virtually no attention in print or television news coverage since the first AFP story. Dallas Morning News picked it up, confirmed it in an April 27th article. Now, here's what was reported. A member of Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz, whoa, wouldn't you hate to have to sign that day after day after day? A member of the Crown Prince's delegation was denied entry into the United States after authorities found he was on a government watch list, a U.S. official said Monday. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, in a routine check of the delegation passenger manifest, found that one traveler was on a government list meant to screen out possible terrorists. The official said on a condition of anonymity. This information was shared with our interagency partners, including the State Department, the official said. My understanding is the State Department denied that person a visa, and so they did not enter the country. Meanwhile, the April 25th press briefing, hear the crickets? Quiet as the grave. Not a word from kind of Sleazy Rice or National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. Rice even went so far as to say, my husband, or the president, spent a lot of time on the terrorism issue. And slippery Scotty McClellan didn't even touch it on his April 26th press gaggle aboard Air Force One. Just kind of probably don't want to remind America where the terrorists come from, do we? I mean, especially not with Boy George making kissy face all over the Crown Prince. I can hear it now. But, Bob, that's an important tradition, that kissing and holding hands. That's an important tradition, just like Mrs. Bush said. That's an important tradition in Saudi Arabia. Fine, do it in Saudi Arabia. They were in Crawford. I mean, you know that hand holding and kissing cannot play well with the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, brachiating faithful of the religion industry, right? They've really got to have some conflicts. Pretty soon, I think we're going to see their heads just explode, just like the nasty little creatures from Mars Attacks when the Slim Whitman starts playing. Not yet, but soon. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Going good. You?
Doing pretty good. I made all the swings today and decided I better give you a call, too.
All right.
But what I wanted to know, they've got a big, they got this thing going now about Ray Hall and how much money he spent on going over and trying to stop maybe us invading another country in addition to what we'd already done.
Yeah.
And how much it cost. But, what, you know, they never have mentioned Laura Bush going over and spending $20 million. And I wonder what the dingbat accomplished. I never did hear. Did you hear how, you know, anything about...
She sat down for a couple of hours, Ed, and she had a very meaningful conversation, because we all know she's fluent in those languages over there, not... a very meaningful conversation with an Afghan lady who got to take her burqa off for a couple of days. But if you noticed a couple of nights ago, I had a story. They're still stoning women to death in Afghanistan. So all of that women's rights garbage that Laura's been getting liquored up and talking about, it's another lie. It's what they do. They lie. If they're talking, they're lying. I mean, sooner or later, we're going to... Well, you and I, we've already figured it out, Ed, but the rest of the country might catch on one of these days.
Well, we know they lie. I mean, that's an understood situation with anybody that's got any smarts at all. But I was wondering just exactly what a person like her, and as knowledgeable as she might be, facetiously, Bob,
yeah, I understand.
That what she could accomplish. You know, her whole man starts it, and I guess she tries to settle it.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, though, I mean, she's an important part of the government, Ed, because she's going to go to South Central L.A. and end the gang warfare soon because, you know, First Lady Laura is in the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, it's silly, isn't it?
I just thought I'd call and see whatever come of that, and I really mean that. I don't know.
Well, we spent millions. We spent millions on that trip.
Yeah, I know. Somebody said $20 million.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, those people can fritter away $20 million. I mean, they light a cigar with that.
Yeah. Well, we need to tell Wendy about that. You know, he's been running his mouth on Ray Hall
Well, you know, getting out and hauling out the racist slurs on Nick Ray Hall is it's sport. It's sport for that side of the debate, it shows their small-mindedness and their inability to actually conduct a debate, because the issue is Tom. For instance, the issue is Tom DeLay. You got to address the issue of Tom DeLay, and you don't win on the issue of Tom DeLay by talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
One thing at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can appreciate some of the more moderate Republicans pulling out and not backing him, and it really don't look good for him. Of course, he hasn't made himself look too good, has he?
Well, no. I mean, when you're letting lobbyists pay $14,000, $20,000 vacations for you to go and play golf at St. Andrews, how can that look good?
Yeah. Well, it don't. If he gets away with it, I think I'll run. I like golf.
Yeah. Boy, wouldn't we have just the devil's own time out there on the Royal and Ancient there at St. Andrews, Ed?
Yeah, we could fit into that, couldn't we?
I think we could.
Well, I just thought I'd give you a quick call, Bob. Just hang in there, keep it up, and kick butts. And some of you Republicans, please call Bob. He needs to point out what a rear end hole you are. Talk to you later, Bob.
Later, Ed. I think that's probably part and parcel of it. They're tired. You know, there's an old saying that, you know, a dog that's been kicked a lot gets to where it likes to be kicked. But that's not necessarily the case with our wing nuts around here. You get embarrassed, you get whipped, and it's not fun. I mean, I enjoy the heck out of it. You know, you're just a seven. You know, that one from a week ago, that one's still living with me. That was just fun. But, you know, I still feel kind of bad about that. But, George, did you catch? Now, this was in the Gazette today, and it was all over the Internet as well, an Associated Press story. And before you accuse me of monkeying with the facts, I don't do it. But of course, if the right wing doesn't hear it from some preacher, it can't be true. Apparently, excuse me. Yesterday, Boy George went down to Galveston. Now that gets the Glenn Campbell song going in the back of your head, doesn't it? Didn't even want it there, did you? and he asked whether Galveston still hosts Splash Day. Okay? He was there to tell lies about Social Security, George was. And he told the crowd, I want to thank the mayor for being here. Lied Ann Thomas greeted me coming in. I said, do you still have Splash Day? And the crowd laughed. Not a little bit. They laughed out loud. And then George says, you have to be a baby boomer to know what I'm talking about. And the crowd laughed again. Now, you got to understand, Splash Day is a party day at Galveston for gays and lesbians. Drawing another round of laughter, Bush said, I'm not saying whether I came or not on Splash Day. I'm just saying, do you have Splash Day? That's the quote. Don't, that he said it, I didn't. And the crowd roared again. Not saying whether I came or not on Splash Day. I'm just saying, do you have Splash a gay and lesbian holiday in Galveston? And by golly, George or someone near to him, like, oh, I don't know, Scotty McClellan, who is a known habitué of gay bars in Austin, told him, ask him about Splash Day. Ask him about Splash Day. And he did. And everybody in the audience knew what he meant by it. This, a day after he, the same day that he played Kissy Face with Prince Abdullah and held him by the hand and led him through the blue bonnets. It was just charming, wasn't it? What can you even begin to say about that? I'm going to let it speak for itself, and we're going to go to our top of the hour news break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the sound of local charities, food drives, and disaster relief without local broadcasters. But with the help of local broadcasters, things can change.
We're here at the 6th annual Action News Run to Fight Cancer. What makes this event unique is the large number of runners who are actual cancer survivors.
All across America, thousands of local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, sponsoring events that offer hope to those who need it. And it doesn't stop there. America's local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, disaster relief, and raise millions for charity.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your donations to help kids throughout our area.
And while we can't always control the world around us, communities can rely on broadcasters for local information all at the touch of a button.
We're tracking the storm system, and it looks like it's moving past our area. But authorities are urging people...
America's local broadcasters. Always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
WWNR, Beckley.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way, but you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
I'm Mesa Leek, and I want to tell you about the history of jazz. Not the music, but my son named Jazz. He was born 15 weeks premature and weighed barely 2 pounds. After he finally came home, he was infected with a virus called RSV. While RSV usually amounts to just a cold, for premature infants and at-risk children, RSV can be life-threatening. Fortunately, there are ways to help prevent RSV. For information, call 877-848-8512 or visit www.marchofdimes.com.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Across America, local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, food drives, and disaster relief, giving communities information they need at the touch of a button. America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with evening showers and partly cloudy as we look at after midnight. Heading for a low of 37, that's a cool start to Thursday. We'll expect partial cloudiness in the morning with increasing clouds and periods of showers throughout the afternoon. Still under the influence of the upper low, chance of rain on Thursday, 70%, with a high of 59. Look for more rain and thunder on Friday.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Hour number two on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A little moment of silence, if you will. I saw this in Karl Marx's stack. And I guess it had evaded me somewhere along the way. Love him or hate him, one of West Virginia's most unique artists has gone on to his reward. Hassel Adkins. He was 67 years old, and his body was found yesterday in his home at Madison. He lived alone there. No determination of cause of death, but it doesn't appear suspicious. I guess Hassel's last great flash of brilliance and genius was an appearance on Roseanne, some years back. Claimed he'd written more than 7,000 songs. And songs like Poultry in Motion, Chicken Walk, The Hunch, Chocolate Milk Honeymoon. I want to hear that one. And Boo Boo the Cat. And he's one of those artists who spent his entire life struggling for recognition. And there are those who believe he had nothing short of true American genius to him. Played guitar, played harmonica, drums, foot rhythm instruments, everything. One-man band. And he's gone now. So Whatever you do when you hear that someone has shuffled off this mortal coil, remember Hassel Adkins and do it for him. It's kind of sad. Just kind of bouncing around a little bit right now. Announcement out from the Raleigh County Republican Party today. They announced that it's pretty slim pickings for a speaker for their annual Lincoln Day dinner, because they've got, that's right, paragon of the working man, Shelley Moore. God only knows what she's going to talk about. Maybe she'll talk about the fact that if she runs against Robert Byrd for his Senate seat, that at the end of that election cycle, he will walk up to her and say, and just hold his hand out and say, "Is this your rear end?" and hand it to her. I don't know, maybe she can talk about how she is the second largest recipient of filthy money from Tom DeLay. That would be an interesting topic. I could probably sit still to hear that. How she just loves getting those little checks from Brother Tom. Got to wonder, has Shelley gone hanging out with Jack Abramoff yet? Lately? Now, they say they doubt that her running against Robert Byrd will come up at the Monday dinner. But she is trying to get outside her own congressional district to try to get someone to pay attention to her. Please, I'm important. Act like it at least.
There's nothing here on how long it will take. Where are they having that? Is it at the Armory? I don't see here. But the other thing I don't see is how long it will take to clean up the sleaze once the Republicans are done with their little fit. Do you suppose they'll have hummingbird's tongues and lark's vomit canapes? A little beluga caviar? Maybe some of the, what's some of the good, right on the tip of my tongue, what's some of the good, the really good stuff? Starts with an S, I think. Can't remember. Been too long since I watched the Food Network. So, you know, get out your hip-high rubber boots, because we're going to be up to our hips. There we go. Hips in sleaze next Monday when Shelley Moore comes to town. Shelley, daughter of Arch, the acorn that falleth not far from the tree. Oh, her focus is probably going to be on the recently passed energy bill and its importance to West Virginia. You know, that energy bill, the one that stiffed West Virginia coal in favor of Wyoming federal coal. You know, Wyoming, where Dick Cheney ostensibly comes from, that post office box he has there. Yeah, that Wyoming federal coal. Nothing for us, lots for them. Boy, she was really busting the hump on that one, wasn't she? My goodness gracious, she's an effective leader. Not. But, you know, some people, well, you know how it is with the Republicans. They would vote for an old yeller dog as long as it was running on the Republican ticket. Now, my party, you know, we'll cross party lines and we'll vote for independents and Republicans and anarcho-syndicalists and just any old thing in the world, because, you know, we don't belong to an organized political party. We're Democrats. Thank you, Will Rogers. But Republicans, cross a party line, vote for a Democrat? Unless it's maybe the last gubernatorial election and Joe Manchin, they just generally won't do that. But you can't hardly blame them for voting for Joe, considering the galloping case of political terminal political pneumonia that Monty Warner had. You ever wonder if that was a little subtle signal to West Virginia's Republican voters when the Bush team rat-slapped the Warner operation for those illegal Bush-Warner campaign signs? You gotta wonder. You really do. And this email from our friend Kelly. It appears as if we have another West Virginia congressman who will fight the Bush machine. Representative Alan Mollahan deserves a tip of the hat for his efforts against House ethics rule changes. The Republicans are attempting to undermine the Constitution in many directions. It is refreshing to see someone say something about it. Amen, Kelly. Amen. And that must have been a fairly lonely fight for those five House Democrats on the Ethics Committee. But they look at the little political lesson that Congressman Mollahan and his four cohorts have given to the rest of the party. If you stick to your guns, good things can happen. It would appear that at least in this instance, Congressman Mollahan understood the operations and machinations of the Stump Licker Bunch. They walked up, they stared him in the eye. He stared back, and they didn't have the guts to punch him in the face, because they knew he would punch back. Of course, the other side of this is, Denny Hastert, coming out and saying, well, the only, this is what you call damage control, coming out and saying, well, the only reason that we're going to let the rules go back to being anything remotely considered to be fair is because we believe that Tom DeLay will be exonerated. Sure you do, Denny. You got the little memo from Karl Rove too, didn't you? Yes, you did. Tom's sun has set. His race is done, and he will not be exonerated. Now, the thing is, I mean, you got to look at what happened the last time Tom got caught by the Ethics Committee. Ooh, scary, scary stuff. They, sit down, this is really shocking. They admonished him. They caught him up to his stinking, stumpy little neck in filth and corruption and graft and sleaze and greed. Oh, yes, they did. And what? What did they do? They admonished him. Don't do it, Tom. Don't do that kind of thing. Or we'll tell you not to do it again, if you'll let us. So, you know, you take your little victories where you can get them and you feel as good about them as you possibly can. And my sincere congratulations to Alan Mollihan for that profound display of political courage. You think maybe that might be catching, that courage thing? Be kind of nice if it was, wouldn't it? I guess we will have to wait and see. Time for a break. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Have you ever wondered where to send your visiting friends and relatives when they visit this year? Make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Crossroads Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard. Southern West Virginia. Got it in ya? Call 252-2244 for more information.
Roseanne Cash, for the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
Johnny Cash was my dad. For years he had diabetes but ignored it, even as his vision and health slipped away. Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, even take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better too. To learn more, visit healthywithdiabetes.org.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Almost 20 minutes after 8. This may be, since we mentioned Shelley Moore coming to Beckley.
Woohoo!
Get out the disinfectant. And the prospect that she will be talking about the energy bill, that one she was very well paid for, in those Tom DeLay PAC donations, of which she is number two. Oh, boy. Easy, Bob. In which she is number two in the country in receiving from Tom DeLay, the bug man. bug spray delay. Now, a lot of us from around here, for vacation, where do we head? The South Carolina coast, right? Myrtle? Maybe Hilton Head for some? Kiowa? And it's a wonderful and beautiful experience. It's fun. There's a lot of beachy kind of stuff to do down there. Well, tucked away in that energy bill that the House passed that contains the ANWR provision, yeah, that energy bill, well, there's another little something. There's an idea for legislation that will lift a ban that is over 20 years old, a ban that's been in place since 1982. Yesterday, Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander introduced legislation that would give governors the power, listen carefully, to override federal bans and approve offshore oil drilling. You know, off Myrtle, off Hilton Head, off Kiowa. Work your way south, off Sea Island, Georgia, off Daytona Beach, off Miami Beach, off Key West. Work your way around, off Destin, off Panama City, off Pensacola, just East Coast and West Coast. Maybe not the Gulf. I don't know. I know they've already got them there. The beautiful view that I used to get when I'd go down to visit what we lovingly refer to as the Redneck Riviera or L.A., Lower Alabama. Go down to the Fort Morgan end of the island, and you are rewarded with a stunning view of oil platforms. But 1982, during the Reagan administration, it was prohibited on the east and west coasts. Now, for those of you who like to go down to Myrtle, Hilton Head, Kiowa, Sea Island, for those of you who like to do that, will you enjoy it quite as much when the sand is covered in crude? Will those beautiful seabirds be nearly as beautiful when they can't even raise their wings from the wet of the oil filth all over them? Are you up for that? I'm not. But the idea is getting a little bit of speed, getting some political legs. Why? Because here's how the thinking works. Hell, if we can drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, one of the last wild, unpolluted, unstained, unruined, decent places in North America, why the hell can't we drill off of the beach resorts? It's always fun to go down there, oh, I left out Nag's Head and Kitty Hawk, didn't I? The Outer Banks. Virginia Beach. It's always nice to go down there, though, because, you know, if you're mountain people like us, you don't think about things like tides. But down there, they are intimately familiar with them. The tide will come in today at 6:15 and go out tonight at whatever. Or go out tonight and come in the morning, whatever it's doing. And it's really quite amazing to see the ocean just sort of recede and create a whole bunch more beach and then come back. I'm easily amused. This is not a question of tweaking our natural gas policy, Alexander, a Republican, said of a broad bill aimed at increasing the supply of natural gas. It is time to aggressively revamp it. We need aggressive conservation. God, they're doing it again. We need a new Clear Skies initiative for more filth in our air. It is time to aggressively revamp it. We need aggressive conservation, aggressive use of alternative fuels, aggressive research and development, aggressive production. The moves to lift the drilling bans have brought to the forefront an emotional question that many lawmakers believed had long been settled, protecting the nation's coast from development. Well, you know, maybe. Maybe they thought it had been settled, but if they did think that, well, they were apparently spending a little too much time at the cocktail parties. Because if there is ever an opportunity to let some crony of the Republican Party make a buck, the issue is not settled. Leon Panetta, former congressman from California who wrote the original moratorium, been renewed every year by Congress, said, "During all these years, we fought for the moratorium. The greatest concern I had was there would be another oil crisis and it would lead to another attempt to go after these reserves." Well, guess what? This is part and parcel. I mean, you heard President Kissy Face today, didn't you? What'd he say? "We need to take some of our old abandoned military bases and turn them into oil refineries. And then we can ship them to Mars." What's this guy on? I mean, we keep hearing that he's a recovering alcoholic and he gave up drugs a long time ago. And then he comes out that new refineries on old military bases. My God, those places are already virtually toxic waste dumps in most instances. Oof. So guess what? You know, Lamar Alexander introduced this stuff in the Senate, and not far behind the House of Representatives, the greed heads over there, Richard Pombo the Magnificent, Representative Richard Pombo. Republican, California, drafting similar legislation. He wants to see oil platforms off the Malibu coastline. And, of course, both proposals have been embraced. Yeah, there's the word, by the oil and gas interests. And by virtue, and, you know, when you come away from that embrace, there's usually a little money in your pocket. Or, I don't know, a trip to play golf at St. Andrews in Scotland. You got to wonder how Jeb Bush is going to feel about that down in Florida. Because, you know, those beaches, they do draw a few people. And him being a Republican and all, it's going to conflict him a little bit, won't it? All that real estate development. Or for that matter, how is Jim Demented going to feel in South Carolina or Lindsey Graham? And most of that right-wing nut cadre. They're going to... Oh, it's going to be fun. Like I said, it's going to be like Slim Whitman singing and watching the Mars Attacks critters' heads blow up. Being forced to choose between their natural inclination toward unmitigated greed and the outcry of their citizenry who might throw them out of office. Whew. That's a toughie, choosing between your money-paying big bucks, big business interests and the people of your district. Spontaneous combustion, that's what you're going to see. Yeah, and by the way, an email, no name on it, sorry. Subject, English problems. It scares me that ABC News called a spider an insect. Aren't they supposed to be smart? Are you kidding? Those guys are making $22,000, $25,000 a year. But they did. I sort of win one ear out the other. It's called a spider an insect. It's not, of course. Well, what is it, Bob? Not going to tell you. Time for a break. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. West Virginia will be buying a new airplane after plans to lease an aircraft ran into some controversy. Governor Manchin announced plans today to purchase an 11-seat Cessna Grand Caravan. That means the state will no longer pursue a plan to lease a King Air 13-seat aircraft for 1 year. Recent merger talks between U.S. Airways and America West are not expected to affect service at Raleigh County's airport or at Mercer County Airport. Both U.S. Airways and America West would like to create a national low-cost airline to better compete with discount rivals. Dennis Burdett, director of Colgon Air, thinks the merger would benefit commercial air service customers by giving them a better chance to compete with discount carriers in the area. Stephen Kappa has been fired as state Homeland Security Director just 2 weeks after he reported alleged spending abuses in the state's regional response program. Kappa says he was not given a reason for yesterday's firing. He says he was told only that he served at the will and pleasure, quote-unquote, of Governor Manchin. Manchin spokeswoman Laura Ramsburg says she would not comment on personal matters. Christy Morris, Deputy Director of the Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, will serve as Interim Director of the Division of Homeland Security and also Emergency Management until a replacement is found. Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito will be in Beckley next week. Capito will be the featured speaker Monday at the Raleigh County Republican Party's annual Lincoln Day dinner. Capito has been the target of much speculation over whether she'll challenge Senator Byrd if the veteran Democrats decide not to run. Capito has said little about the matter, and Raleigh County GOP Chairman Joe Long doubts the matter will come up at Monday night's dinner. A Clarksburg man has been named West Virginia's director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Agency. Robert Steptoe III had served as legislative director for Congresswoman Capito since 2000. He also served as law clerk for U.S. District Judge James Stuckey for 2 years. Cloudy and chilly the rest of this evening. Still a chance of some very light showers, upper 40s now. And then for tonight, partly cloudy early, becoming mostly clear later on tonight, and chilly, low tonight near mid-30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
One of the worst aspects of the global corporate culture is that it routinely pits one group of workers against another in the corporate pursuit of dirt-cheap labor. This has come to an ugly head in recent years with a mass offshoring of U.S. call center jobs. These workers answer questions that American consumers have about their phone bills, computers, credit cards, insurance policies, etc. Curious about a long-distance charge on your phone bill? If you call your company's toll-free service number, you're likely to reach someone like Rahel Manzoor in India. An Indian trade group says that there are 350,000 people there working in such back-office service jobs for U.S. corporations, and the number is expected to grow by 40% this year alone. The corporations are tapping India's vast pool of workers who are English-speaking, tech-savvy, and cheap. But these workers are also nervous wrecks, for they know that Americans are very angry about the offshoring of middle-class jobs, and American callers often take out their anger on them, using creative combinations of four-letter words. The Indian call centers try deception to deflect this anger. Rahel Manzoor, for example, is told to call himself Jim on the phone, and he's undergone lessons in how to speak American. Some call centers have giant TV screens showing the current weather in U.S. cities, the latest sports scores and such, so workers can make small talk and pretend to be in the U.S. But many callers know better and berate the poor operators who are under such stress that they suffer all sorts of debilitating illnesses. It's psychologically disturbing, says Manzoor. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's also psychologically disturbing for Americans to see our middle-class future exported, while CEOs calmly count the billions of dollars they rake in by pitting us against the Indians. To help unite workers here and there, call the AFL-CIO's International Department, 202-637-5050.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the MAC.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 9. Now, you've heard people on my side of the debate, our side of the debate, talk about the good, common, decent, humane things that people like Congressman Rahal, Congressman Mollahan, Senator Byrd do for people. Here's an example of that. Today, in Washington, apparently Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld came down from the persistent acid trip that he's on long enough to go and answer questions in the Senate. And Senator Byrd had some questions there for him. Stand by a moment, please. Sorry for the dead air. Don't you hate it when that sneeze is, there's a sneeze on the way and it doesn't happen? Well, that was what that was. Mrs. Lisa Vance has been getting what can only be called a shameful runaround from George Bush's Defense Department. She's a widow now, Mrs. Vance is. Staff Sergeant Gene Arden Vance, Jr. of Morgantown, was a 10-year member of the West Virginia National Guard, and he died in May 2002 from enemy gunfire in Afghanistan. He was the first member of the West Virginia National Guard to lose his life on active duty since World War II. And Senator Byrd told Rumsfeld, he of the known knowns and the unknown knowns and the garden gnomes and the, you know, that guy. He told Rumsfeld, she has gone through more trouble than any military widow should have to bear. And here's what Mrs. Vance told Senator Byrd. Listen and see if you approve. Pentagon paperwork errors nearly cost her $50,000 in life insurance funds. She has never, never received the financial counseling to which she's entitled. She received no explanation of the health insurance benefit that she was eligible for immediately after her husband's death. And Senator Byrd said a simple pay issue took 3 years to resolve. Some of the guidance Mrs. Vance received on important matters was based on Army field manuals that were more than 10 years out of date. At one point, her casualty assistance officer retired, but no replacement ever arrived to assist her. He went on, the bottom line is that the casualty assistance officers who assist widows do not appear to have adequate training for the incredibly difficult job they must perform. I wouldn't want to be one of those people. That would make it hard to go home at night. Just that, all that grief. And Senator Byrd said, I do not question the dedication or commitment of the soldiers who must perform this job, but I do have questions about whether the military is giving these officers sufficient training to assist grieving widows in their hour of greatest need. Senator Byrd, you should have questions about whether the military is giving those officers sufficient training. This is a military that has been sold on cheap in the name of Halliburton's bottom line and the profits of Kellogg Burn and Loot. Now, I've just read you most everything that Senator Byrd said. You want to hear the touching, heart-rending response of Don Rumsfeld? Sometimes you go to war with the widows you have, not the widows you want. No, he didn't say that. He was thinking it. He didn't say that. Listen to it. Here's the touching response from Don Rumsfeld. Senator Byrd, any time one hears a story that you cited about Mrs. Vance, obviously you can't be satisfied. The hell does that mean? You can't be satisfied. We're not talking about satisfaction here. We are talking about doing right by a war hero's widow. And then General Richard Myers, Rumsfeld's little sock puppet, said, "Senator Byrd, that's an issue we follow very, very closely. It's a very bad case, and nobody should have to go through that." I mean, is this the Washington doublespeak equivalent of, "Wow, sucks to be her"? Don't we have a cocktail party to go to? Yeah, we do. Do you honestly think that Don Rumfield will even say so much as a little teeny tiny piece of a prayer before he goes off into the booze-addled sleep, dreamless in nature, that he will have tonight? I don't. What, her husband's dead? Well, whatever. Got to worry about, well, yeah. I mean, listen to that. Senator Byrd, anytime one hears a story that you cited about Mrs. Vance, obviously you can't be satisfied. No, here's the answer. Here's the answer, Don. This is an unacceptable situation, and it will be fixed yesterday. But instead, he cranks out the same up-armor argument. Anytime one hears a story that you cited about Mrs. Vance, obviously you can't be satisfied. Damn, that is the moral equivalent of you go to war with the widows you have, not the widows you want. That's what that is. And Byrd counters, "How can Congress be assured that the widows of troops who were killed in Iraq in recent days will not have the same problems that Mrs. Vance encountered?" Reasonable question. And here comes the doublespeak response. "That's something we've addressed from the day that we started this war, and in an effort to try to do that to help if everything else fails, we have an operation called Military One Source that's been set up. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if people aren't getting the help they need on any question, they have a toll-free number, internet, and email access, and we'll refer the questions to the appropriate authorities and follow up and make sure it gets done." Yeah. Ah, come on, General Myers. Senator Byrd was born at night, not last night. We're going to give him this 800 number that'll ring and ring and ring, and we're going to give him an internet address that is probably just going to bounce back to him, and we got an email for him, let's see, last time I checked, that email box had about 92 million emails in it, and we've got one E3 clerk who's job it is to read each and every one, and he'll get done sometime when he's about 96 years old. This is shameful. But there's nothing new in it. I told you last night about the Gulf War I veterans who were ground under George Bush's boot because he wanted that $1.7 billion in frozen Iraqi funds more than he thought tortured POWs deserved it. "Now, we got to use that $1.7 billion for Iraq reconstruction." Tell you what, George, let's subtract that 1.7 from the 8.8 your boy Bremer lost in the CPA. And then call it even. Because one of the things I didn't tell you about the story last night about the screwed over POWs, they offered to settle. They offered to settle for pennies on the dollar from their judgment. Pennies on the dollar. Bush administration said, "No, you can't have none of that money. That was Saddam's money, and now it's our money. Get away. Get away. You can't have none of that money. You sickos, you old veterans, you POWs that think you won life's lottery just because you got your leg smashed at Abu Ghraib, who the hell do you think you are?" That's your George Bush. When the rubber hits the road, when the money, when it's a comparison between money and meat, when it's a comparison between bullion and blood, baby, the money will always win with a Bush. Always win. Lord God. But he supports the troops. Nothing make you gag sometimes. Back to the phones. Jim has come back to us. Hey, Jim, I expect you probably got some expertise down this little alley.
I just thought about something I meant to say earlier.
Yeah?
I was looking for a book of old postcards, like around the beginning, before World War One.
Yeah.
And they had one of the Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, let us pray.
Right.
Except pray was spelled P-R-E-W. And I could think you could transpose some of the faces of our luminaries on that, like Jerry Falwell and who else?
Yeah, Dobson.
Yeah.
Robertson.
Boy George.
Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little tired of this Myers guy, too.
Yeah.
No, seriously, you've got some governmental experience. I mean, this story about Mrs. Vance, is that acceptable?
Now, what is this story, Bob? I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. The idea. Senator Byrd was talking today on Capitol Hill about a West Virginia widow, a war widow, who has been given a 3-year runaround trying to get her benefits.
That doesn't surprise me.
And the casualty assistance officers operating out of more than 10-year-old out-of-date Army field manuals.
All right. You know, the casualty assistance officer is called a CAC.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's doing what now, sir?
Well, she's just had the runaround, a 3-year runaround, trying to get the compensation and the benefits that she was due and owing. They didn't give her the counseling that she was supposed to have, the financial counseling. They she almost lost out on $50,000 in life insurance funds.
Is she trying to collect on his servicemen life insurance? Or what?
I would assume that's correct.
And this, that's for this current war, right?
Yeah, the guy was killed in Afghanistan.
Listen, let me tell you something. You really have to have, as an action officer in her behalf, someone working in the government in her behalf, you've got to have somebody there who is really willing to push and push and push and not to send stuff by mail but by fax and stuff like that. And for her to have waited 3 years, now that is just unconscionable.
Well, as Senator Byrd said, he fears she's not the only one. And, of course, we know she's not the only one. Because, you know, this is an administration that runs the military on the cheap and tries to balance a military budget on the backs of, you know, widows.
Well, I mean, you know, now, Bob, it's common knowledge that they're taking postal retirees' contributions to their pension fund and putting it into military retirees. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. That's pretty
disgusting.
Yeah, they
are. They sure are. Yeah, I'm shady. But really, that's what they're doing. I mean, I don't know how they're running this government. It's been I was heavily involved in that during the first Gulf War, but things have changed so much, and, you know, and with the regime that's in power now and the types of people that are running these programs, I really... I'm not surprised.
No. I don't think any of us are surprised. Disgusted, maybe? Yeah. Sickened? Yeah.
Well, I think if the lady is owed the money and it was an agreement that her husband had with the government and all the paperwork's in order, and what they basically do is they send a death certificate, a copy of the insurance that was in effect, or whatever document that is... the proof that he had the coverage, for lack of a better term, and then it's just a matter of that being sent down to finance, and a check is cut and sent to the widow. That's basically how it's supposed to be, my friend.
Well, here's what she said, Jim.
Okay, I'd like to hear this.
She told Senator Byrd Pentagon paperwork errors nearly cost her $50,000 in life insurance funds. She has never received the financial counseling to which she's entitled. She received no explanation of the health insurance benefits that she was eligible for immediately after her husband's death.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, when they recruit people into the armed services, they're told not to tell them about all those little perks that they can get, like tuition assistance and student loan repayment programs and things like that, unless they ask for it, okay?
Right.
And if they can get them without that, then they don't have that, what's called an addendum to their contract, all right?
Yeah.
Now, if a person just all of a sudden decides that, hey, I wasn't told about this, and I should have this because Joe Blow in the next company told me that he's got it, well, what they have to do is they have to go to ABCMR, which is SAES in the Army, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a group of people that's around the table up in Rosslyn, Virginia, or used to be in Rosslyn. That's called the Army Board for the Correction to a Military Record. And then they can decide, or not to decide, to add the appropriate addendum to the 4-1 or the service member's contract. It's at their discretion.
Well, it sounds to me like what this woman got, Jim, was exactly what you described, where if, you know, they hope that if you don't tell her she's got the benefits, she won't try to claim them. And then we won't have to pay them, and we'll be that much to the good.
I would hope that she would have in her possession an original copy of the document her husband signed that would entitle her to that money.
I think she has, the runaround has finally ended, but, you know, it went on for 3 years.
They finally paid her.
I believe they did. It's not entirely clear from this news release. But Senator Byrd complained about the lack of training for the casualty assistance officers. And he also asked if there had been any changes to the training. And maybe from what you're telling me, Jim, he was asking the wrong questions.
Well, I don't know. I doubt that. But basically, when you get when a constituent has to go to a member of Congress, like Senator Byrd,
mm-hmm.
and they write a letter, then that will go from Senator Byrd's office through the Office of Congressional Legislative Liaison, okay, OCLL.
Right.
It is given an OCLL number. Then it goes through the agency, okay?
Right.
And when that thing comes down to you, and I've had many of them come to me, congressional. Now, you have a suspense on that thing, and usually that suspense is no longer than 10 days. In other words, you got to answer the mail or provide an interim response within that designated period of time.
Right. Or heads roll.
Well, let me put it this way. Somebody's going to come see you, and they're not going to ask you out to lunch.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, that's been my experience, okay? But, I mean, it basically rolls out of Byrd's office down the hall to the military liaison people or Office of Congressional Legislative Liaison. They send it to whichever agency is impacted, in this case, it's DOD, an Army, or whoever. And then, you know, when it comes down, and these things come down by fax now, and they are brought by, they are hand-carried to your desk. And they have a cover, and it's got congressional. It's red.
Pay attention.
Or pink, or whatever color they use now. And it's got a little S on the top, suspense. And it's usually 10 days. And by the time I used to get them, 4 of the 10 days had expired.
Well, that's got to make it exciting, Jim.
Well, I mean, you're sitting there, you know, you're doing your work, and you've got a project in line, and all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I've got something for your inbox. And can you see congressional, and you go, oh, my dear.
Yeah.
And there you go, and you stop what you're doing, and, you know, that is given top priority. Because you're going to have people in higher echelons of command.
Well, I can't object to that process.
No, I can't either. I think it's very good. And apparently, maybe it's not what it used to be. I don't know.
Well, it just seems a shame that these kind of questions have to be asked. And, you know, you get this line from that filthy Rumsfeld. Anytime one hears a story that you've cited about Mrs. Vance, obviously you can't be satisfied. What the hell kind of answer is that, Jim?
I don't know, but 3 years, that's an awful long time for somebody to have to wait, particularly on a death benefit.
Yeah.
So, Bob, I've seen death benefits on service members go through in less than 2 days, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in less than 2 days. I mean, we're talking about checks being sent by...
But she says Pentagon paperwork...
Overnight registered mail.
She says Pentagon paperwork errors nearly cost her the whole $50,000. Not her errors, Pentagon errors. Paperwork errors.
Well, you know, sometimes these things are kind of like people in Stalin's Russia. They're just nameless numbers on lists that sometimes get carelessly mislaid.
I hate it when we have that comparison.
I hate to say that, but, you know, that's always a possibility.
Well, thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate it. Got to take our top of the hour break.
Sir.
All right. Okay, top of the hour break. More of your calls when we come back. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Is there any legitimate excuse for running around a war widow for nearly 3 years? Bush voters, how about you? I mean, you're welcome. I mean, if you can make excuses for the guy, you're welcome to try. This is News Talk 620, WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On. Our son was a freshman living in a dorm.
As a mom, you do everything to get them ready for college.
Mike Kepferly and Judy Miller want to prevent what happened to their families from happening to yours.
One day the phone rang. It was the hospital near my son's college.
They said our daughter was very ill with a rare disease.
Meningococcal meningitis.
We didn't know about vaccination.
We didn't know college kids are at risk.
The meningitis spread so quickly.
We all thought it was the flu. We had no idea it was so serious.
Hours after her first symptoms, her condition was critical.
Less than 24 hours, he was gone.
The vaccine's been around for years.
Of all the things you do to get them ready for college.
My daughter didn't have to die.
Parents and college students should learn more about this type of meningitis and vaccination. That's the recommendation of health officials and parents like Mike Kepferly and Judy Miller. A public service message from the National Meningitis Association. For more information, visit www.nmaus.org.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Across America, local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, food drives, and disaster relief, giving communities information they need at the touch of a button. America's local broadcasters, always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, dealing with evening showers and partly cloudy as we look at after midnight. Heading for a low of 37, that's a cool start to Thursday. We'll expect partial cloudiness in the morning with increasing clouds and periods of showers throughout the afternoon. Still under the influence of the upper low, chance of rain on Thursday, 70%, with a high of 59. Look for more rain and thunder on Friday.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We've been chatting a little bit about this issue of war widows getting the runaround, getting abused by the system, and obviously it's not right. But whether or not it's just part of the process or part of the process of a Bush war where you do it all on the cheap and you hope to get away with as much as you can. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And Paul is with us and has been waiting. Thank you, Paul, for waiting. I appreciate it. You're Head On.
You're welcome, Bob. I just want to back up what Jim was saying there about... military retirees are supposed to come out of Rumsfeld's budget, but they robbed mail carriers for $27 billion.
When did that happen?
Well, it's been a good while back. And thing is, the postal people are not supposed to talk about it, but that's the reason you're going to see a postal rate increase next year.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Oh, you got it.
No offense, Paul.
And another thing about this, too, is I just took care of a W-2 vet who went all the way from Normandy Beach, plumb through the Battle of the Bulge, plumb into Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He finally got his 100%. He's 80 years old.
Bless his heart. I wonder if maybe I spoke to him one night on this show.
No, okay. Not him.
Okay.
But I remember the other one you were talking about. He lived on Railroad Avenue.
Yeah.
That's another one.
He can use some help.
Well, I'll tell you exactly where his records are. They're at the Carl R. Barracks on microfiche.
Well, he's lucky in that regard. You know, so much of the World War II stuff, Paul, is, or at least I ran up against this when I was trying to find out the particulars of the death of one of my uncles. His records were in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and that one burnt down.
Well, let me give you a little point on that one, Bob. There was five fires there. We've got 16 record centers. They've been 1 to 5 fires in every one of them. But they had backed up with this, and they're on microfiche at Carlisle Barracks. In fact, they're building another new building at Carlisle Barracks for all of this stuff.
Well, good.
And all of these veterans should be looking at this. They said, well, we don't have any records on it anymore. We had this far, and your records were lost. That included the last half of the World War II, all of Korea, and first half of Vietnam.
Mercy.
That's 15 million.
That's a bunch.
Oh, and Lou Dobbs put it on today, and I'll go ahead and tell you about it. I haven't talked to Dr. Bill about it yet. I didn't want to bring the subject up before because it got too controversial.
Okay.
On these illegal aliens that comes in,
mm-hmm.
and they go to a university or college in any state, they get state tuition at the state's rate.
Okay.
In the 96 bill that they passed went into effect in 97, if someone else come to West Virginia, they don't have to pay all the state in tuition. Did you know that?
No. No.
They only pay the state that's in the bill.
I'll be darned, because I paid a bunch of out-of-state tuition, believe
you
me.
You got it. And Lou Dobbs put it on this evening. And I didn't bring it up before, because when I got into these 529s with Dr. Bill on the radio, they don't realize that they're ripping off the parent's Social Security.
Yeah, sure.
That's what a 529 is, and then you're trying to use gambling money to back up the state's half.
Makes your head hurt, doesn't it? Well, you know, Paul, where illegals are concerned, tell me if I'm crazy here. I mentioned this a few nights ago.
Uh-huh.
We have this ugly habit in this country of wanting to punish the people who are hurting the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got... The illegals come across the Mexican border because there is work here to be done and they can do it, right?
Right.
And of course, if you know, if you've got an immigration agent and he's out walking around, he sees an illegal and he says, let me see your green card. They don't have one. They get arrested. They get incarcerated. They get deported. Okay. Now, is it possible we could be approaching this from the wrong direction?
Let me give it to you this way. If he works here as an illegal and he gets in 10 years, he's qualified to full Social Security benefits.
Okay, but back up with me just a minute, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, they go, some of these men, they'll hang out at places like Home Depot
mm-hmm.
for day labor work.
Right.
And some guy who, say, you know, maybe he's putting a deck on the back of his house and he makes $250,000 a year. He goes and he hires these people for, you know, $5 an hour or less. I mean, let's face facts. Now, if these illegals get caught, like I said, they're going to get incarcerated, deported, whatever. What if instead of trying to grind our heels over these poor people who are just trying to survive and work, what if we tried to alleviate the illegal alien problem by punishing the dickens out of the people who are creating the work for them?
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to, when we catch them, find the employer. But I got a different look at this. I would say to Mr. Fox, you either control that border and your people coming across it illegally, or we're going to cancel NAFTA altogether. I'll tell you, that would wake them up in a hurry.
Lord, that'd be wonderful. I mean, if that was the excuse that we had to use for backing out of NAFTA, fine by me, Paul.
And
because NAFTA's poison, and you know that we're getting ready to ram CAFTA down Guatemala and Honduras and Costa Rica and El Salvador and Nicaragua and Panama's throats, right?
Yeah. It's the same thing. But I'll tell you right now, in the next five and a half years, and when this 5.5 year ends, if we keep going the way we're going right now, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for this nation.
Well, we're in real trouble, but we're not going to worry about that, Paul.
Worry? They're going to worry in a hurry, because what's coming down and what's going on, these little arguments about Tom DeLay and all this other thing, the girl the tube was pulled on, and...
Don't forget Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson and all this stuff. We're not talking about what's going on in this nation.
No, we're not talking about what, we're not educating our young to be able to join the debate when they get a little bit older. We're not doing that either.
No,
we're showing them the fabulous life of Britney Spears on VH1. And you know, I'm a liberal. I'm not telling anybody what they can or can't watch. But you know what? This is supposed to be a representative democracy, a republic, okay? And as such, there are certain obligations that are incumbent upon citizenship here.
Right, and the very one is the 14th Amendment. Unless you're born in this country or you're naturalized, you're not a citizen of this nation. And therefore, all members of Congress and the president have violated their oath of office.
Well, back up there for a minute, Paul. I don't know if you were listening a couple of nights ago. Did you hear the story about Judicial Watch's FOIA request to the FBI about records on Osama bin Laden?
No, I didn't hear that.
Well, this will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Oh, you mean they can't go into his personal record?
Yeah.
It cannot be revealed?
Yeah, because...
He's not a citizen of this country. What difference does it make?
Well, they have afforded Osama bin Laden, the FBI has afforded Osama bin Laden the rights of a citizen of the United States and have afforded him privacy protections under FOIA.
That's the Patriot Act.
Well, it is Exemption 6 to FOIA.
Yeah, but on all of our records now, we can't reveal or call and ask the doctor a question or anything about another patient, you know, or to get information from them that they didn't deliver that the patient was supposed to have. We can't do it. The patient's got to go back. It comes under the Patriot Act. And the same thing, if I build an HMO, I got to give them a W-9 showing them that I'm a legalized corporation.
Well, I tell you what, when Osama bin Laden has more rights...
than our citizens?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in deep trouble, Bob. There's no question about that. Let me give you another little figure. Hey, like our dictator is the governor.
He's scaring me a little bit, Paul.
He scared me when we called that special session before he even gave a State of the Union message. And I want Chris, if he's listening, to know I was one of the first to make a call that you could not turn these pensions over and sell these pension bonds. You've broken the contract with the individual. You have to have his signature, you have to have his home address and his Social Security number, and he doesn't have it. Changing the Constitution is another violation of the law.
Well, I tell you, I had the numbers on that the other night, Paul, and they were horrifying. If this bond issue passes in June, we will be indebting children that have not yet been born.
Oh, you're going to go from a little over $800 to around about $3,900.
Yeah, yeah, and
for each individual,
and that could put paid to our good bond rating.
But you know, Bob, this goes back several years. This goes back to '96 when the study was done on this, and they was giving the state by state to each state's debt to the individual because of these things. And it was set up, and some of the states were up to. Running any worse than 9,000 and over for each individual.
Yeah.
But now, we're looking right now at Southern West Virginia, Bob. I want to tell you this. 3 weeks ago, the bankruptcies in Southern West Virginia was $23 million. The next week, it was $9,999,000. This past week, is $7 million. We're now $607 million in Chapter 7 bankruptcies in Southern West Virginia in 25 and a half months.
That should tell you something about this miraculous Bush economy, shouldn't it, Paul?
Yeah, and the northern part is even higher. But here's the little secret behind it. We're going to give you your tax break, which is actually a tax credit against your future Social Security. But the point is here, we're saying we're growing the economy. We're growing it on credit cards. You run up a debt, you can't pay it, so you file bankruptcy, and the debt is still unpaid.
And you can't get shed of it.
That's right. And you got six more months before the law kicks in.
Then, you know, if you're looking at bankruptcy, best file it now.
Better file it now. So that debt that you run up, the money you didn't have before you started with, and you run up this debt, you don't have to pay for it. Who's going to pay for it?
Well, I mean, it is said that it's all passed along to the consumers.
And 2 years ago, it was over $1 trillion.
That's not a recipe for a happy future.
No, and we done robbed the Pension Guarantee Corporation. It's now in the red at $23.3 billion. If you go to look at what's going on in Congress, and it's just like I hear on the morning show, and the things they're talking about, they know nothing about the laws. They've never seen the laws, never read them. I don't want to hear what some newscaster's got to say or anything else. I want that law in my hand so I can read it.
Well, that's where you start.
And you can get every bit of it right there. And when they come out in Congress, they tell you this and they tell you that, you know, we're doing this. They're not telling you the truth about anything they've done.
It wouldn't surprise me, Paul. At what point do the chickens come home to roost? I mean, at what point do we pay the piper?
Well, you're going to pay the ones that start retiring in 2008 are going to pay the piper. They're going to find out half of their Social Security is gone already, and what they got in retirement is already at risk. Because all of that Social Security that their employer used, you got to pay back. It's only on lease. And it will amount up to any worse than 50% to 80%. This is where the alternative minimum tax kicks in.
Well, that does burn a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, because, see, that's not counted as your salary.
No.
That's counted as an extra investment.
Sure.
And when that kicks in, they're going to find out what it's all about.
Well, I fear, you know, not trying to be all gloom and doom, Paul, but I fear for this nation. You know, beyond Social Security, look at our debt.
Oh, we got a debt. It won't quit. It's 7.8 trillion.
And how many days out of the last 10 or 15 has the Dow finished? You know, 100 points or more down.
Mm-hmm. And that Dow is about as false as you can come. In fact, the stock market is scared right now of what's going on.
Well, it should be. I mean, the gas prices. You know, when George Bush comes out and says, I wish I could make them lower, but I can't no matter how many times I kiss Prince Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
The market's going to respond to that, and it is.
Yeah, kissed him on both cheeks and then took him by the hand and led him.
you reckon if we dug up George Washington, we'd find that he'd rubbed his casket smooth from rolling over in his grave so much at that?
He'd probably have all kind of cracks in him, Bob.
Okay, I know I've made some fun out of that, Paul. But the fact of the matter is, the oil markets are beginning to tell on the rest of our economy. What was it I saw today? Durable goods had just gone through the floor. And every day there's a little bit more bad news.
Yeah, but look at General Motors, look at Ford and Chrysler, and what's going on, and especially with their retirement and now their health.
Yeah, it costs GM $1,500 for every automobile that it builds to provide benefits.
Right.
And, you know, thank God they still are, and thank God for the United Auto Workers that are making them still provide benefits.
Yeah. And the thing is, if they do like the rest of these companies done, like the coal companies, they've rolled them in over in these 401Ks, ripped off the original pensions and their health care. And then they wonder why these young men won't go to work for them anymore. Well, they can take a look, see what they've done to their grandfathers and their fathers. They're not going to work for a crooked bunch like that.
You can't hardly expect. Well, and it's not the good job that it used to be.
No, it's not. And the other thing is, taking a look at this, what did they do with that pension money? What did that company do with that? And then when the lawyers go to roll them out of their pension, they're into these 401Ks, it's on the average of $64 an hour to roll each individual over on the average of 3 hours. That's for the lawyers to work out the plan in the rollover.
Well, you knew somebody was going to make out nicely on that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. But
well, I've had a lot of people send me a lot of articles, Paul. One that I just browsed, there are the beginnings of talk in Asia, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that they want a single Asian currency just like the euro.
Yeah.
And if China ever comes in on that, considering the paper we've hung on China, we're done.
We're done. There's no question about it. This administration has made no move for their underfunding of their currency. And in all the piracy that is going on, but our corporations are still closing down, or they'll start a layoff, and then next thing you know, they've shipped it overseas. I haven't picked up anything here lately, Bob. It is not made in China.
No, you can't. In fact, someone had emailed me this story. There was a kid in college who built a parody website of the Walmart Foundation. Walmart crawled all over him like a duck on a June bug for doing it. But he created things like Walmart Bingo.
Yeah.
Where you print out this little bingo card with, like, all these different countries' names on it. Of course, the United States isn't anywhere on this board. But, when you're walking through Walmart, there's Kuala Lumpur, and you check that off until you get Bingo. But you're right. I mean, and it's not just Walmart. It is very, very difficult to find anything made in the United States anymore.
And the other thing, Bob, is this overtime thing. When that bill was passed in 86, they dropped the hours on overtime down to 17 and a half. Then they finally figured out, we made a mistake. All of a sudden, their associates or their managers or what have you, they beat them out of 18 and a half years of overtime.
Yeah. Well, and you know that the managers at Walmart are paid a bonus based upon each associate in the store, each worker. The Walmart manager gets a bonus at the end of the year based on the number of people he's been able to keep off of full-time hours and keep from getting benefits.
And most of them is better than $100,000 a year, too.
Yeah. And to wake up every morning and look in the mirror and know that you are doing that on the backs of the working poor, and doing it on the backs of the taxpayers. What was the number we heard last week or so? A 200-employee Walmart costs about $440,000 in taxes.
Yeah, yes, and especially on Medicaid.
Yeah.
But now this Medicaid thing, Bob, I told them 2 years ago what was going to happen on Medicaid. Well, 14 years in 2018, there'll be no more Medicaid money from the federal government.
Well, that's the way they want it, Paul.
Yeah, and see, the governor of Tennessee cut $323,000 from the rolls.
Yep.
Well, a judge down there ruled against him. Well, these new judges that was under the H.R. 1 bill, that's the drug bill.
Yeah.
These three-judge panels sitting on every federal courthouse across this nation, they're not appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. They're appointed by the Secretary of Health.
They're civil servants and they're administrative law judges.
And we're running two governments now. Two different governments.
Well, there's the administrative state and then there's the
private.
And then there's the corporate state.
Yeah, the corporate state is what this is. And these are for people that are on HMOs, 401Ks, 125s. You got any grievance to make, you got to make it within 60 days. Then you're going to find out that you've made this choice, ever who you were working for, to be on these welfare programs. It's called the second line of business exception for all the insurance companies and banks. They're running a separate line of business. It's not insurance, it's welfare.
Now, that's going to be an ugly little wake-up call.
And it's something else to hear everybody talk or the newscasters. Nobody's read these bills that the Congress passed.
Well, my God, some of them are 2,000 pages long.
That's right.
They count on us not to be able to read them.
You got it. But I take the time to do it.
Sure, I understand that.
And that's the reason I got into it, because when I went in, when this bill was passed, it went into effect in 86. That's when I went into business.
Well, we've seen the business with the estate tax go through the House of Representatives. And now it's going to go to the Senate, and if they pass it, the estate tax, the so-called death tax that applies to incredibly wealthy people.
That's right.
Will be gone. It will be no more. It will be dead. So rich people's estates will be protected by the government. And yet at the same time, you've got the Conference of America, of United States Governors, looking real hard at trying to make it harder for people to get Medicaid without turning their property over to the government.
That's not new, Bob. That's been in effect since 93.
Well, there's been a Medicaid look back. Now it's going to get more and more difficult.
That's right. And so the people are not going to be able to leave their children anything of theirs or their property.
Yeah, we're talking about, here in this state, we're talking about family farms that have literally been 250 years in the family.
Right, right. And see, people really don't know what's going on because they don't understand the laws.
Well, what do you say about a government that's willing to protect the estates of the rich but wants to take away the estates of the poor?
Then it's time to repeal to the government your grievance. Either you straighten up this mess or we're going to reform it. And it takes the people to reform it. And that's what under that First Amendment. Readdressing under the 10th Amendment.
Petition for redress of grievances.
That's right. You didn't give up any rights under the 10th Amendment.
Right. I understand that, Paul. Well, thank you so much. We've got to take our bottom of the hour break.
You're welcome, Bob.
Always good to chat with you, Paul.
Yeah.
Take care.
You too, Bob.
It's easy to get lost in some of this stuff. And I will be the first to admit it. But it is very simple what we're talking about the estates. We're talking about a situation where the Republicans want to protect the estates of the rich and take the estates of the poor. Now, I know that may sound a little too simple for the people who worship at George's shrine, but that is what they want. Sometimes answers are simple. Protect the estates of the rich, take the estates of the poor. And you know darn good and well what that is. It's feudalism. Pure and simple, 800-year-old, Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here, Monty Python, feudalism. And coming out of that society, moving toward, through the Enlightenment, was it Hobbes or was it Locke? I can't remember. Most men lead lives that are nasty, brutish, and short. Maybe it wasn't Hobbes or Locke. Maybe it was Calvin. Oh, that's Calvin and Hobbes. Never mind. Nasty, brutish, and short. Here in this country, it's taken us 100 years or so, but we've in large part gotten away from nasty, brutish, and short. And now there's an element of people who dare call themselves Americans, who dare call themselves citizens of this marvelous republic, who want to go back to nasty, brutish, and short. I don't want anything to do with them. How about you? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. American Electric Power says it is in discussions with the government to settle a lawsuit over the company's alleged pollution increases. The Justice Department sued AEP and several other utilities in 1999, saying modifications to some power plants violated the Clean Air Act. Among the 10 AEP plants mentioned in the lawsuit are three in West Virginia. First Energy last month paid $1.1 billion to settle a similar suit. The government has settled with eight other companies. State Division of Natural Resources officials say a man was shot while turkey hunting in Greenbrier County this week. He's 46-year-old William Martin of Smoot, who was shot in the Sam Black Church area around 8 o'clock Monday morning. Lieutenant T.D. Coleman of the DNR Law Enforcement Section says 24-year-old Gene Heimberger of Dawson has been charged with negligent shooting in that incident. Record gasoline prices have not put a dent in traffic on the turnpike. That's according to Greg Baer, general manager of the State Parkways Authority. In fact, Baer says toll collections in March were up more than 3% over March 1 year ago, with passenger car traffic up about 2.5%. A Glade Springs resident has filed a lawsuit in an attempt to stop the resort's new ownership from allowing motorcycles in certain sections of the gated community. Attorney Warren Thornhill, who filed the lawsuit, says the covenants promised to property owners that motorcycles would be prohibited within the bounds of Glade Springs. Thornhill says allowing motorcycles past the front gate is a violation of the Phase 1 covenants that have been in place for the past 25 years. Elmer Koopsley, who is president and CEO at IMCO Hospitality, says his company's intention is not to open up the entire community to motorcycles. That's the news. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, then partly cloudy and chilly tonight, mid-30s. Tomorrow, a chance of showers late in the afternoon, partly cloudy, high near 57. Showers tomorrow night, low 45, and Friday, showers likely, with a high near 60. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development. Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Girk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantilla, your fresh grocer, and today's tip of the day is going to be with blueberries. They're being imported in now from all over the world, and there's a lot out there, which is great for us because there's some specials out there on blueberries. But if you want to get all that wonderful flavor and make that wonderful blueberry pancake or blueberry muffin, or just put blueberries with some nice whipping cream, ooh, I love that, you want to select them right. When you buy them, you want to make sure they have a dark blue color all the way around. Check that container when you buy it. If there's any, like, liquid inside there, that's a telltale sign that there's a king blueberries. So what you want to do is don't buy that container. You want to buy the ones that are clear from any liquid. When you bring them home, store them in the refrigerator right away, because remember, they come from thousands of miles away. So buy them and enjoy them 2 or 3 days. They are great for you. They're loaded with antioxidants and vitamin and minerals. Blueberries. If you want to get some great recipes on blueberries, log on to TonyTantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How to get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 10 o'clock, 24 minutes left for your thoughts at 252-6200, outside Beckley 800-620-WWNR. It's that easy. An email from Kelly. With regards to Senator Rockefeller, Mr. Rockefeller, it is time for him to wake up to some issues other than medical care and trade. Time to step up to the plate and be a Democrat. Quit trusting these guys. And you could say that you can say that about so many people. In many ways, I think we're kept. You know, we get the mushroom treatment. Keep us in the dark and feed us nothing but, well, you know. Because I was thinking about the bold stand of Congressman Mollahan on this ethics committee issue. And I got to wondering, can you play connect the dots with support for this bill or not supporting that bill? Because remember, twice in the same day, Congressman Mollahan voted with the Republican majority on the bankruptcy bill and on the estate tax dissolution bill. Now, is this his payback? Is this deal making at its very finest? I'm not saying that it is, but one cannot help but wonder, because the art of deal making is an art that rises to the level of medieval alchemy almost when you're talking about the halls of Congress. But when Kelly says it's time for Rockefeller to step up to bat and be a Democrat and quit trusting these guys, absolutely, absolutely correct. And then again, do you remember the Clinton administration? Now, this has nothing to do with scandal, but there is an editorial cartoon that runs from time to time on BartCop.com. And it is a caricature of Bill Clinton with a great big butcher knife on the back that says, Democrats. Do you remember the health care debate? Do you remember how he got stabbed in the back on it? You can see, well, for instance, take the estate tax and the bankruptcy bill. How many Democrats crossed party lines to vote for that? A goodly number, I assure you. How many Republicans crossed party lines to vote against it? Out of both of those bills, one. One. None on one bill, one on the other. That is called running your party. And we vote our, the Democrats pride ourselves on voting our consciences, blah, 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 blah. When sometimes you just have to stand there and be a Democrat. You can't waffle around like Joe Biden and say, you know, you can have this right-wing freak judge, but not the other right-wing freak judge, and we'll give you a judge to be named later. And, you know, I make all these movie references all the time, but, Fifth Element, science fiction movie of a few years back, Bruce Willis, young Russian lady, beautiful. But he gets done, he takes these high-tech weapons and he shoots up the room full of bad guys. And then he says, anybody else want to negotiate? That's what happens to us. We come out wheedling and whining and talking about, you know, we need to do something bipartisan. We need to negotiate. We saw the negotiation on H.R. 1 a year or so ago, didn't we? Democrats were not even allowed to participate in the deliberations. Republicans changed the rules and extended the hours of operation of the House. And that's how they got what they wanted. And we sat there and bit our knuckles and cried about how we weren't allowed to negotiate. Oh, we weren't allowed to negotiate. And then just to bring this point home, there's a liberal member of Congress from St. Louis. His name is Representative William Lacey Clay. And the abortion bill that was voted on and passed today in the House that would make it a crime to help a minor evade a state parental notification law, like, you know, go across state lines. Hateful bill. It would make it, you know, it's a crime for a doctor. It's a felony for a doctor to take a young girl who has been incestuously raped across state lines or evade parental notification in any way. That it makes it. And this Democrat, William Lacy Clay, yeah, I found this one on WD40.com. He's a liberal Democrat from St. Louis. He's opposed this legislation in the past because he said that the bill is good. And he said Democrats need to be more, quote, sensible, unquote, about the politically dicey issues that he thinks cost them rural and conservative voters in the last election. Newsflash. You know, he says, I think there's still enough we can do to protect Roe v. Wade. It is more about being sensible on some of these issues. Congressman Clay, for God's sakes, man, the way you make abortion numbers go down in the United States is by providing a support system and a safety net for the poor, because that's where the abortion numbers are rising, and they started rising as soon as George W. Bush took office. But no, there went Congressman Clay over there voting with the knuckle draggers and the mouth breathers. And he said, I'm going to follow my church leadership and vote in favor of this bill. Clay's a Roman Catholic. And I'm sorry, but you can only wonder if he's also going to follow his church leadership and agree to help cover up priestly rape in accordance with the May 2001 letter from Cardinal Ratt. Either be a Democrat or get the hell out. Progressive issues succeed in this country, and they did so in November, on a wide, wide spectrum. Minimum wage issues, living wage issues, affordable housing issues, they play and they win. And in November 2004, they won in some of the most unlikely of places. Bastions of conservatism. And Democrats won. And yet we've still got this thinking out there from people like Representative William Lacy Clay that somehow the Democratic Party will get better by being a little more like George. That's not growing the party, that's killing the party. That's contributing to a one-party system. And newsflash, that one-party system is a theocracy. Do you understand, Congressman Clay? When you're dealing with this gang of Republicans, if you are a moderate Democrat, you will get run over. You will get squashed in the middle of the road, and they will giggle about it as they drive past you. Clay said he hears all the time from his priest on the issue and has gotten about 1,900 letters and emails in support of the bill. He said he's also gotten letters opposing, but quote, probably not as much. Funny, he knows how many he's gotten in support, but not so sure on the ones opposing. I smell a little duplicity, don't you? Be a Democrat. It'll make you feel good. Stand up. Have a spine. Have some guts. Have some integrity. And don't bow and kowtow to these religion industrialists from the right wing. Because just like a rabid dog, when they smell fear, they attack. They don't lick your little hand, Congressman Clay. Damn. Let's go to the phones. Mel's with us. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. First thing I'd like to say is I agree with you 200%. You know, people tell us, you sound angry. My Lord, you know what? If we don't get angry, I agree with you. You know, they'll say, yeah, you better not write that, or you better not say that, or you better not protest that. You know what? I think it was somewhere around the eighth grade that I'd start hitting you in the face, you know, instead of the stomach.
Yeah.
You know, you learn eventually, you fight fire with fire. And these guys, like I said, you know, they have no limits. I read in the Charleston paper there, I think yesterday, where they was going after Hunter because he had voted against that third-party bill.
Right.
Now they got automatic phone calls going out telling his constituents, you know, It's like I said earlier, it's like playing pool, you know. They're not only making the shot, they're setting up the next shot.
Sure they are.
We're still
chalking the cue.
Right, and I had one delegate to call me like 2 days ago and told me that they really didn't want to vote for that, and they thought that it sucked, but they did because of the pressure. And that's ridiculous. I agree with you. You know, if we're going to send you down there as a Democrat, be a Democrat.
What's so difficult about that, Mel?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, Bob, what's so difficult about it is the stress and the pressure. You know, I think we need a new bumper sticker like would say Hell Mansion. I think we've got another little Hitler here, too, or another little Bush.
He's scaring me, Mel. He's scaring me. This bit, you know, I don't have all the facts on this Steve Kappa business, but this purge that went down in West Virginia's Homeland Security Department, because he had the temerity to speak his mind.
Yeah, you know what? You know, he done said that you had to clear any press release through him. You know, he's wanting to run public broadcasting. My Lord, you know, we got one big Hitler. We don't need a little statewide Hitler. And like I said, I'm not a bit backward about saying that. People need to start speaking up.
Well, and again, I guess maybe part... And that's the part I don't understand about the third-party bad faith bill, Mel. People did speak up. Time after time after time, representatives and senators, delegates and senators stood up and said, you know, my comments on this are running 10-1, 20-1 against this third-party bad faith bill, but I'm going to vote for it anyway.
Well, evidently, see, people forget so fast. Now, this coming session, they'll probably be less likely to pass a bunch of this crap because Manchin, I don't think, can put the pressure on them. They know the elections are coming up. And I heard that one delegate got 200 calls, and like 198 of them was against that third-party thing, but they voted for it anyway.
Right.
And, but, you know, I reckon you and I don't realize the pressure, and that's what they're doing when they're making these automated phone calls about Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting fright in you the next time because they don't know, you know, when they see people like McGraw fall, it puts a shock in them. They wonder, how powerful are these guys?
It's blood in the water, and they know that the sharks are circling.
Exactly. But, you know, just switching gears a little bit, the Republicans, you know, announced today that they may not change those ethics there, you know, to help delay or protect him.
Right.
But meanwhile, when they did that, they said, but we're going to warn you right now that some Democrats are going to fall because of this.
And, you know, I guess, let's see, Tom DeLay got slapped on the wrist 3 times, but they'll slit throats on Democrats, right, Mel?
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I heard that, it reminded me of that old book that somebody wrote, I Learned Everything I Need to Know in Kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know, you attack the other way. And the way I look at that, you know, I'm going to be more fair than some of these Republicans. I'm going to say if we got some Democrats in there that's crooked as DeLay, throw their rear end out, too.
Well, I don't have any problem with that. I'd like to see the travel rules and that kind of stuff rewritten very simply that says if you didn't pay for it out of your own pocket or if the Congress did not appropriate the money for you to take the trip, don't take the trip.
Well, I agree with you again on that too. But you know, I heard some talk about all the trips that Ray Hall had taken, and you know, and he don't please me 100%. But you know, I'll still vote for him. But some of those trips he took to Syria, he personally told me that, you know, I don't know if everybody forgot, but we were awful close, I think, to attacking Syria.
Yeah.
And he told me that he made trips over there to try to get them to, you know, to not let those insurgents cross the border and,
right.
And you know, and try to work it out so we wouldn't have more people killed and kill more of them. And I respect the man for it. And I don't know if the government paid for it or Procter & Gamble or him. I don't care.
Well, a little bit of difference between that trip and, say, a golfing expedition to St. Andrews, isn't there, Mel?
Yeah, just a tad. But, you know, I was wanting to make everybody that can hear me tonight aware of what's, you know, Paul always tells us what to look for. Well, I got something kind of interesting in the mail a couple of days ago, and I'd like for people to pay attention. You know, we've lost our due process with insurance companies. If you watch the news, they said on new cars you had to be careful. They were taking your right to due process out of that, making you go to arbitration, binding arbitration. You know, then Bush let the banks, he must owe them a lot, but, you know, now they can raise your credit card interest because you don't pay a utility bill.
Yeah, it's called universal default.
Well, now there's a new one I found out about. I took it to my bank. And that's been about 3 days ago, and I can't get an answer. And I don't care to tell people who it is, you know, I might get in trouble, but Bank One, who's J.P. Morgan Chase Bank now, but I got a thing in my statement telling me that as of this certain date, that I don't have a right to go to court, that all of it's got to be held by arbitration. It's binding. You can pick one or two arbitrators. And it says if they would happen to do something with a third party, that this is binding with them, too. So, in other words, if you got money and they let somebody else have it, you got to arbitrate that, too. I mean, this is a sick, it's getting down to be sick, you know, society that I thought the Constitution gave us a right to go between so many of our peers, and they're stripping us of that every day.
Yeah.
You know, and people died and bled for our rights, and we're just sitting around giving them away. So they
we're bored with them, Mel. I mean, it's not nearly as exciting as a NASCAR race or, you know, I pick on NASCAR. I'm sorry. Or a baseball game. It's not as exciting as watching The Fabulous Life of Britney Spears on VH1. I guess we're just bored with being free, aren't we?
Well, you know what? I kind of hate to admit this to you especially, but sometimes I envy those people. We all can't be that way, but I reckon if everybody cared the way that I think that you and I care, there'd probably be some mean people piled up on the bottom of New River Gorge jumping off that bridge over there. You know, there would be
a million people in the streets in front of the Capitol every day.
Well, I got you there. I wish so, but, you know, I don't know. I think that they'd rather take the easy way out. And I really don't think a lot of people can take the stress. And then there's the, there's a factor, too, that they're out working so hard and they're keeping them, you know, working so hard that they don't have time to, you know, we registered several people right before the election, and those people really didn't know the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. All they were doing was trying to make a living.
Yeah.
That's the people that's driving without insurance, has no health insurance, and like I said, you know, sit down, try to explain them to them, and they're trying to figure out how to make a buck. So they got everybody right where they want them. And this letting these people come over from Mexico, you know, I feel sorry for those people. They have families and souls just like we do.
Sure.
But you know what? Bush is going to let every one of them guys come across as he can, because that's white slavery for these corporations.
Well, sure it is.
People.
Absolutely, Mel. And the more that come across, God bless them, the more that come across that, that's a little less likely that maybe some labor union can survive, or that some group can collectively bargain. You know, it'd be a lot easier to build things at $5 an hour with illegal alien labor, wouldn't it?
Well, they could probably lower the minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know, if they can get those poor people to work for nothing, live out in a tent, you know, out in the desert like they're doing, and, you know, and then bitching about them being here there long enough to get some kind of benefits or something. I tell you what, them, I'm going to do, I think, like I said, I know I'm not right all the time, and I get angry, and I think Peter did in the Bible. And when I get angry like that, I'm a type guy liable to whack an ear off, too. But you know what? I care about those people, and I don't want to see them mistreated any more than we are, any of us workers. But, you know, that's exactly what that's all about. And like I said earlier today, a Republican will sell his mother for a buck. And you sell your mother quicker for a buck.
Yeah, my mom gets a half a buck.
Yeah.
We got to roll, Mel.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you, man.
Good talking to you again.
Take care. See, you get a little spirit in you, and the next thing you know, you're feeling like a citizen, like a sovereign. Or is there a rerun you'd rather watch? Oh, brother. The show, of course, tonight was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We appreciate their support. The show is archived every night at whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch does that. We appreciate his efforts, too. There's a whole lot of hard work that goes into bringing you these 3 hours of some of the best radio in West Virginia every night. Hey, Agnes.